This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Oh, yeah. Dip it to a Slim Jim.
Oh, yeah. Was that for WrestleMania tonight?
Is that tonight?
I think it's tonight.
Yeah, it is tonight, because I went on Twitter and, like, nobody's tweeting. So I'm assuming everyone's just watching WrestleMania.
I'm sure that's what's happening, because it starts at like 10 a.m.
Oh, well, you know what? It's also everyone's getting back from Chicago, so.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Very true.
Yes. So what's new, buddy? How was your Phoenix trip?
Oh, man, that was good. That was that was a nice needed break.
Yeah?
Yeah, thank God.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was all good. We had some good barbecue, went to a brewery. That was really nice.
Yeah.
So it was all good.
Very good. How was your Chicago trip? Oh, wait, you live in Chicago. How was your drive down the road?
I'm starting to learn, like, where my tipping point is. So, like, with my, like, issue with crowds, I finally figured out, you know what I should be doing on Saturday when it's all, you know, asses to elbows? I should probably just do panels. Like, make it easy on myself. Just go to panels so I'm not, like, down on the floor dealing with that.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what I did on Saturday. And that made it a lot better. And I could easily see what you said about last year about Friday, because Friday there was so much nice room to maneuver around, and everyone was so much more pleasant.
Yep, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, and then I caught the old con crud. I woke up on Sunday, and I was like, "Oh, I can't do day three." Just like. So if you hear me coughing without hitting the mute button, that's the crud.
Yeah, I was wondering, because you texted me about recording, and I was like, oh, is he not going to the con today? I'd be like, that's cool.
Yeah, I woke up, and I was just miserable.
You know what it was? That Bill Bomer gave you scurvy.
Oh, no, he did not. Are you kidding me?
Did he cure your scurvy?
He tried. There was a lot of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And I'm like, Bill, I didn't pass out. Stop.
That Bomer. So tell me about the trip. How was it?
No, it was great. It was great hanging out with Bill. Like, I was pulling up, and I was running probably 45 minutes late. Because last year when I was driving, if you don't get there pretty much... If you get there past a half hour of the con starting, and this is like people are in the parking garages an hour and a half early.
Yeah.
Before it even starts. So you have about a half hour after it starts at 10. So 10:30, you're going to a whole different parking garage. And that is such a far walk. And of course, McCormick Place has, I think it's 4 parking garages. So you can't eat, like, I was in C last year and I was like, oh, hell no, this will not happen. I will pull up at, you know, 1 a.m. if I have to, just so I don't have to park in C anymore. So I couldn't even imagine D. Like, at that point, I might as well be parking at Wrigley Field and taking a bus over. Like, you are so far away.
Yeah.
So this year I was like, oh, I was running so far behind. And I'm like, shoot, I'm not going to be there at 10. Looks like I'm close to like 10:40. And I'm like, God bless. So, of course, like, I'm completely stressed out. I'm just like, I don't want to go to B. So all of a sudden, it still said A was open. Well, as soon as I make the turn to go into parking lot A, 4 cars later, the guy's like, whoa, 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 stop, 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 go, go, go. Like, parking lot A just closed.
Dang.
Yeah. So I was in one of the last spots all the way up on the roof, like 5 or 6 floors up. So right then I'm like, oh boy, is this going to be busy? Like, how packed is this thing going to be? And sure enough, it was nice and wide open and just, there was not, Friday, there was no issue at all with like claustrophobia, nothing whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It was real nice. But that also told me on Saturday, I better get there uber early, which I did. I got there about an hour early. But on Friday, as soon as I was pulling into the garage, Bill texts me, "Hey, I'm here." And then Roddy texts me, "Hey, we're here." And I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I pulled in, and I mean, you know, like the layout of McCormick and whatnot. Like, even if you're in parking, the closest parking lot, in my head, I'm like, I'm still, by the time I walk through the line to get in, because it's not just walking through the door and you're there.
Yep.
Like, they send you through an obstacle course. And as soon as I do that, in my head, I'm like, the soonest I'll be there is 40 minutes. So that's what I texted both of them. So it was great. Like, pretty much as soon as I walked in the door, like, Bill was there, which was great. So we pretty much walked around together, and I gotta say, I don't know if you know this, but Mr. Bill Bomer of the Geek Brunch podcast
is a Wonderland.
He is that.
He is.
But did you know that we're hanging with the celebrity, son?
Do tell.
We were walking Artist Alley, and I think Bill already went through it. So, you know, we're just sort of shadowing each other, walking pretty slow. And off in the distance, and I'm telling you, and you know how crowded and loud it gets, about 5 feet away, and Bill and I are already, like, if you're looking at, like, the rotation of a clock in our position, if we're at the middle position, this person was yelling 5 feet away at, like, the 8 o'clock position.
Mm.
Like, all we're already past them. And all of a sudden we hear, Bill Bomer. And I sort of look back, and he looks back, and it's a creator standing up, you know, there's however many table feet in between us, as well as like 5 feet. And he's standing up and he's pointing at Bill, and Bill is... Bill wasn't like, oh, hey. He just sort of turned around and he just walked over to him and started to talk. So I was like, when does that ever happen? Like, it's always me under my breath being like, that's Lee motherfucking Weeks. And then Lee Weeks looks up and I'm completely embarrassed that I just said that. But no, I never get called over. I'm just like, what the hell just happened here? I'm like, I'm with a celebrity.
Wow. So who was it?
I don't even recall the gentleman's name, but he was like, hey, are you still doing your comic? Hey, and he knew the name, he knew Mr. Bubbles. And I was just like, dang, what the hell? And then after, I mean, they were talking for like 15, 20 minutes. And after when he finally caught up to me, I was like, hey, who is that? And he said the gentleman's name, and he's just like, yeah, I've known him for years.
Huh.
I know. I was just like,
We should plug Bill's comic, alfieandmrbubbles.com.
For sure.
Yeah. He does it with his son.
I was asking him if he's going to be hitting C2E2 sometime, get a table. And I think he has more local plans at this point.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, very excited.
Yep.
Yeah, but we pretty much hung out for the day. We went through all of C2E2, as well as a couple panels, hit the Valiant panel, met up with all the Nerdy Legion boys, which I gotta say, it was pretty, pretty impressive to meet up with all of these people that all you do is hear their voices over and over again. Like, every week I hear their voices on their numerous podcasts, but to actually put a face with the name, as well as like hear the way that they deliver their lines in person, it was pretty amazing. Like, it was great to like listen to Jay.
Yeah.
And it was like Dennis was just amazing. Like, just Fantastic. All of them. That's why I wanted to jump on tonight, because it's just like, man, I would have never thought I would have met like just the cream of the crop people just from podcasting. And I mean, I'm telling you, Nerdy Legion, hey, kudos to you, Nerdy Legion Network. I mean, I would have never thought I would have, one, met anyone face to face.
Yeah.
And then two, and I even told my wife, like, there might have been bumps in the road regarding some people down the line. But it's sort of like we all sort of cultivated a very positive, like, it's sort of a safe area, a safe playground, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what I always like joke around on this podcast. Like, you know, there's no judgment. This is a positive playground. You know, it's a tickle fight, you know, that, but really the entire network is sort of built around that. Like, guess what? If you're bringing in like horrible attitude, it seems like one of us will always try to correct that behavior, but if it just is sort of ingrained in that person, then that person, we sort of cut loose that person and just let them, like, you can go off into the ocean by yourself. Enjoy.
Well, we did have that one time.
I know, and that's sort of what I'm referencing, but still, like, you know, if you were saying something that was uncool to me, I never ever feel like I can't voice that, whether that's directly to you in front of people or only to you through a private message. Mm-hmm. And guess what? If you keep it up, then it's like, well, I guess I won't be podcasting with that guy. You know, and it could just be my quirk.
Sure.
But it's interesting that we found so many. And it's not like a hive mentality. We all have our own quirks. We all have our own personalities, but it's like we're all so tolerant of each other. And I think all of our deficiencies are just like, oh, that's Nick. Like, even if you like, okay, that's him. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so interesting to meet everyone. It was so wild just to hang with them.
Nice.
Yeah, it was just great.
Yeah, I hate that I missed it because I wanted to meet Jay and Dennis, and Justin was supposed to go last year and he had some personal issues he couldn't attend. And then JC showed up this year as well, so.
Mm-hmm. JC was fantastic.
Was he?
Oh god, yeah. But it was a shame that like Justin, like he found the place.
Sure.
And the place for the boys at like Airbnb, wherever he found it, it was like, it was in a really good neighborhood. It was pretty well located. There was like a grocery store right across the street that was 24/7.
Nice.
So it was like whatever you needed, it was within walking distance. But it was just a shame that he had to leave early on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was great. Like talking to Jim, it was fantastic.
I bet.
Yeah, it's just so strange. It was great because it's just like you hear people's voices and then all of a sudden you see them and it's just like you're so used to a little thumbnail image and then it's like, that's the voice I hear in my headphone.
Yep. Well, you know what's cool too is like even if you just talk to these people when you see them, it feels different, right? And you already have like the automatic connection.
Oh, for sure.
Because I noticed that last year. I mean, like, obviously I talked to Ronnie a whole bunch, so I kind of expected that. But, like, meeting Duan, I think, like, he just texted me. I was like, dude, just whenever you get there, text me. And he got there later than everybody else, so he's, like, texting everybody to meet at a central place. And we're going to meet at the Valiant booth. And, like, I didn't even know what he looked like. Right? Because, like, he's very private because of his job.
Sure.
And so, like, I hadn't even seen a picture of the guy. And, so he's like, yeah, I'm gonna be here at this time. And so, like, I walked, and like, C2E2 is a giant convention, right? Like, I don't know how many people they have attending every year, but, you know, it's gotta be like, close to 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And the place that we picked to meet was like, right by, like, pretty close to the front door. And I'm getting closer and closer, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to find him. Like, I don't even know what this guy looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I looked up and I looked in one direction and I saw him and I was like, that's mother effing Dewan. I'm going to go over there.
Was he the only person wearing a Valiant shirt?
No, he was.
Usually that's the dead giveaway.
No, he was dressy. He was like in a polo shirt and slacks.
Nice.
And I was like, Dewan. He's like, yeah. And like, it was instant. You know what I'm saying? It was nice. It was nice. But yeah, I agree. I'm glad that we have those kind of people surrounding us. And not other kinds.
I'm not talking about the Taylor Network at all. But you listen to other groupings of like podcasters or social groups, and they get so freaking snarky and just like, hey, I'll even do a callback. I went to a 50 Answers in 50 Minutes by Mark Waid panel Saturday.
Yeah.
Never seen Mark Waid at a panel. So, I mean, you know me. I love freaking Mark Waid. So I was like, 50 Answers. Like, granted, hearing that, you know you're not going to get an in-depth answer.
Right.
He's not going to go into the process of writing for 20 minutes. But I figured, well, he'll hit so many small little bits. It will be really good. It'll be exciting. And it was. It was highly recommended. If that's what he's doing on this year's like contour, I highly recommend going to see that panel. But on that panel, somebody asked him, why do you like writing Superman, I believe? And, you know, he explained how that was his character growing up. That is the character that he always identified with. Well, actually, you said the Dial H for Hero. That's who he identified with the most. And then he goes, I even looked like him growing up. But he said, I love the optimism of Superman. I love this, this, this. And it's all those touchstones that we've been discussing for the last 3 years. Like, I've had a rediscovery of Superman, and I've had a realization that he isn't just this all-powerful being all the time, which that's what I'm finding fascinating. So it's good to hear this from him. But he goes, it's so easy, going back to like the snark and the negativity on like social, he goes, it's really easy to write a negative dark story. He goes, that was sort of what happened in the 90s. Everybody, he goes, you could throw a creative stone and be able to do something in a negative, dark space. And he goes, it's hard to write positivity. It's hard to write a hopeful story. And it's like that to me, that was like, I connected with that because it's real easy to be down and negative and critical on something. But it's the people that don't like, but this is what I want regarding, like, I don't mind being critical.
Yeah.
But like, if you're not going to like offer like, but this is what they could have done, they should have done, it's like, if you don't have a way to change that and you're always just being negative, I don't know how helpful that is.
Yeah.
And I find that I get myself dragged down a lot. Like, I even talk to my wife and, where she works, there's a lot of negativity and people like talking behind each other's back. And I've told her, I'm like, once you start doing that, you'll do that in every facet of your life. That's why, like, for me, I just avoid gossip. I just avoid these negative like talks. And guess what? If you want to think that, great. But like, you know, I discover people on like, you know, the Taylor Network and, you know, you and Paul. And it's just like, it's like, that's sort of what I want to listen to. Like, I want somebody to be critical. That's fantastic. But as soon as it just always is negative, it's just like, no, I play video games for fun. I read comics for fun. I go to movies for fun. Like, and sure, you can pick it apart. You can be critical. That's awesome. I like critiquing stuff. And some stuff is not for me. But it's that vibe that I just don't want to be around. Like, I don't want to be around the dick measuring contest. I don't want to be around like 24/7 negativity. So it's interesting to like talk to these guys this weekend, and it just like everybody like Jay is so dry with his humor.
Yes, he is.
And it's fantastic when you're talking to him because he is just hilarious. But like reading some of his texts, if you're in a pissed mood, you could read it and the dry humor doesn't come through. You're just like, what is this guy talking about? I can't believe he just said that. You know, it's just like, and you jump to that conclusion. And it's like, after talking to him this weekend, it's like, no, he's just wired differently. So it's like, you have to look at that perspective. You know, you have to look at it from his perspective.
Yeah, but I guess everyone needs some kind of outlet to attach themselves to, right?
For sure.
Because, I mean, there's plenty that are, like, I'm not going to name a name, but there's a YouTube channel. And he's, like, super negative about everything. And he's got a huge following. And then, like, all his followers, like, attack creators based on whatever they are or aren't doing. Right, and like those people could never do the right thing either, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how sad to have to live that way all the time.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I don't think I would want to. That would just cause such a like acidy pit in my stomach.
Yeah.
But I have to say, on Saturday when I was doing my panels, I was sitting in line for, oh, dude, you would have loved it. It was a Brian Michael Bendis versus Mark Miller panel. So I really thought they were going to get a little saucy with each other since they both started at Marvel right around the same time. I'm like, shit, they've known each other for decades. This is going to be good. And it did get a little inside baseball. Like they went into like three or four stories about like Marvel retreats and some of the pranks that like Miller would pull on people. And even Bendis was like, there's still people that don't realize that it was a joke. Like to this day, they still think such and such actually happened. And he couldn't go into it because obviously that person could listen online and listen to the story, and be like, oh my God, I've been played for, you know, decades. But just waiting in line. And I mean, the great thing with the C2E2 app and more places, more cons need to do this. You set up your schedule through the app, and when you're picking what panels to go through, like to set up your schedule, it will let you know how many people did the same thing. So like the Bendis Miller panel, it was like 860 people signed up for it. So it's like, shoot, I got to get there early. Like even if half those people come, my God, that's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
But then you see other panels, and I won't name names we'll talk after. But I won't name the panel, but there was a panel Saturday afternoon that only had 69 people register for it.
Huh.
So who knows if all 69 came? I have no idea. But for the Bendis Miller, I was just like sitting down waiting, you know, queued up, waiting to get in. And this guy saw my press badge and he asked where I'm from. And I gave him the spiel. And I was like, oh, do you, you know, write or podcast? And he goes, oh, I write for, I think it was like Newsarama Now Bleeding Cool.
Oh God.
And he's just a freelancer, but he was like the most positive dude. You could tell he was like young right out of college.
Yeah.
But he has a passion for comics. Like he was showing me his pictures of like, he bought a lot of like Black Panther, you know, for like first appearances, that type of thing. Yeah. Like the first like 20 issues of Black Panther. And he was showing me like some of the like Superman stuff that he picked up. And he was talking about what he was really into. Well, for whatever reason, after that panel, then there was an Action 1000 panel with Bendis and God, there was like four other people that were there. And it was a great panel, too, but we left one to go to the other, and the guy's name was Octavio. So he's like, hey, I'm going over to the Action panel. I'm like, all right, I'll join you. So we had to queue up for that. And we must have hung like, I think there was one panel the entire Saturday that I was in that he never showed up for.
Huh.
So all of a sudden, like, he would be like, oh, are you going to the Batman panel? Oh, and he would just, like, you know, cut in with me, and then I was going to, it was Marvel's editor-in-chief, C.B. Sobolski, with Scotty Young hosting.
Yep.
And I was hoping that panel was going to be, like, his vision for what's going to happen now that he took over Marvel editorial tasks. I thought it was going to be a look into the future, but it was sort of his rise into that position. Because I guess those guys knew each other for decades.
Yeah, apparently they've known each other for like 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So it was sort of a review of him. And granted, a lot of people, I think they fell into, because the way it was described, it sounded like it was going to be a look into what's coming up instead of a look back at his career.
Sure.
So a lot of people, I think, got up and like, yeah, this isn't for me. And they left. But like, Octavio and I kept like catching each other. And then this other guy, we started to talk to him. So it's like, this is really strange, because usually when I'm at a con, I'm not by myself. I'm right. always with a buddy.
Right.
So it's sort of like you sort of commune together and close out everyone else. But since I was by myself, I was actually very open to like talking to people and like, hey, can you hold my place in line? Hey, why? Here for what brings you to this panel? And it was strange. It wasn't like, oh, I made friends. No, like I didn't give anyone, like I told them about Nerdy Legion, but it wasn't like, hey, you can follow me on Twitter, here's my business card. No. But it was just interesting to hear from people of like one guy was just really into trades. Like he wants stories that are very trade based, not really reading trades, but like it drove him crazy when stories went on for years.
Sure.
And then he described what got him into comics. And it was like, God, what the hell was it? Oh, criminy. I want to say it was Nightfall. And I just looked at him and I was like, that story took years to tell. I'm like, you just said the thing that drives you crazy is if it goes past six issues. And he goes, yeah, now I'm that way. He goes, I never thought that the story, I never looked at it like it was a trade. I just thought, oh, I'm going to, you know, collect the story.
Wait, so did he pick it up when it was coming out, or he read it in trade?
Yeah. No, he picked it up when it was coming out.
Okay.
But it's interesting that like now, you know, what, 20 years later, all of a sudden now his reading habit is, I want things digestible, you know, 4 to 6 issues.
Yeah.
And I just looked over at him. I'm like, you might not want to read Jonathan Hickman's Avengers run, because that was years of issues.
I don't think that's weird. I think a lot of people are that way now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't think it's weird. It was interesting when he was saying what got him into comics is exactly what he doesn't like now.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, that's funny.
But the C.B. Sobolski, can I just give you a little highlight on that?
Of course.
Dude, this drove me crazy too, and it still drives me crazy. In the audience is his mentor, Tom Brevoort. Nowhere on, I looked, but nowhere on any of the panels was Tom Brevoort. And in Artist Alley, Chris Claremont and Alan Davis and Mark Farmer, nowhere on the panels were those three gentlemen. And like Ron, I think it was Ronnie. He was like, well, what would Chris Claremont's not really doing anything? What would he have a panel on? And I'm like, 3 decades of writing comics, I would go to that panel. And he's like, yeah, touche. Yeah. that's the panel.
Right. Dude, there. Hell yeah. Especially people that are like still itching for his X-Men stuff.
Yeah. I'm not going to Mark Waid's panel for his writing on Champions or his writing on Avengers.
No.
And I'm a huge Mark Waid fan. Those are mediocre at best.
Oh, dude, Avengers right now is freaking amazing.
I know, but I'm not sure if it's his issues.
Yeah, I don't think the other two writers. I think he's plotting, and then Al Ewing's writing.
Yeah, that's what I'm. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think they say that on the creator thing, but.
But hey, guess what? Like, what character does he want to write that he knows? Green Arrow, because Green Arrow's always had a voice. Like, his quick. The great thing about the 50 question, the 50 answers, sorry, the 50 answers. And I got a little scared because all the other panels had a lone microphone that, you know, the people would direct. And then, but the problem is if your eye line is perfectly at Mark Waid, and then people start lining up behind a microphone and standing in front of you, that entire hour, you'll never see Mark Waid. You're screwed. Hmm. But the great thing with the Mark Waid was this was the only panel that whenever they asked for questions, he would say the question that the person just said, because there were plenty of them I couldn't hear. So he'd repeat the question, and then here's my answer. So you never missed anything. So to hear him, like, I always wanted to write a Green Arrow book, because since that character came out, once like modern Green Arrow hit, he has always had a distinctive voice. And I'm like, that's pretty good. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can go back and yeah, I can think about that. You're right. Ollie has always had a pretty outspoken voice.
Sure.
And the character he never wanted to do, because he couldn't relate to her, is Wonder Woman. And he's like, I've said that for years. He goes, I've tried to wrap my head around how I would approach that character. I still can't figure it out. So it was really like there were cool little tidbits in it. Yeah, but awesome. because of the darn con crud, I missed the Elf Quest.
Oh, 40 years.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I can't believe it's 40 years, dude.
I know. I would love to, especially their perspective of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let me tell you, I bought two things. Ryan Stegman was at his table, and he just had, you could tell they were like leftover con prints, but he had a little pile of prints that was like this pile, $5 each, 3 for $10.
Hell yeah.
So I was like, $5. I can find a Ryan Stegman in there for $5. Hell yeah. So I grabbed it was like a Venom Scarlet Spider. And you know me, like the most Scarlet Spider I ever read was Spider-Verse.
Right.
Like that just isn't, that was not really my character. But I'm like, for $5? Hell yeah, I'll buy some Scarlet Spider. So I bought two Scarlet Spiders, and I bought a Thor and Wolverine.
Oh, you should have gotten a third.
I did. I bought two Scarlet Spider ones Thor and Wolverine.
Gotcha.
Well, actually one, it was a Scarlet Spider. Then the other one was a Venom against Scarlet Spider, and then a Thor against Wolverine.
Were these like full-size prints or like mini prints?
No, they were full.
Dang, that's a good deal.
I know. Except the problem is, and this was on Friday. So like, if you're going to be uppity and cheerful, Friday's going to be it, you know?
Oh yeah.
Unless you're completely hungover from what was Thursday?
Wasn't it the karaoke night thing? Was that Friday?
No.
That was Friday. That's
Friday. The retailers.
Oh, the retailer summit. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Which, hey, guess what? They might have an open free bar.
They do.
Yeah, so could he be hungover? Sure. Could his wife be hungover? Sure.
Yeah.
But it was, you could tell, and I think you discussed this I've been listening to this new podcast. I don't know if you heard about it, Comic Talk Today.
Never heard of it.
It's a really good podcast. I highly recommend it. It's on the Nerdy Legion Network.
Sounds like a douchey podcast.
No, it's really good. It's up for a Grabby Award.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, I heard that. But, you know, go to iTunes, give it a 5-star review. But on Comic Talk Today, the host, Martin, talked about when he's at a con and there's expensive books up on the wall. And as soon as they see you go for the long boxes, they don't want anything to do with you.
Yep.
Because they're not making any money from that. As soon as Stegman saw I went for the $5 prints, him and his wife could care less.
Oh, that's too bad.
And they were pissed off that they had to even give me change from my money. But you know what?
But why have him there?
That's exactly my point. And to be honest with you, if either one of them, even his wife, if either one of them would have been cool, I would have been like, hey, take the change and put it into, you know, the whatever it is, hero initiative bucket that you have.
Yep.
But since both of them were that way, I understand. You're not going to make a min of money off me. I totally get it. But then Octavio, the next day, he shows me his 5-minute Ryan Stegman sketch. Like, a lot of creators are doing that now. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
Because I never noticed that last year. But this year, tons of people are doing 5-minute sketches for $60 or something. So he pulls out his Stegman sketch to show me, and it's of Moon Knight. And dude, it was really, it was old, it was vintage Moon Knight. Not worn out with Moon Knight.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I know. It was, yeah, it was, it looked badass.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I guess he talked to him about Venom, doing Venom, and Octavio asked him, so is Moon Knight going to show up in the Venom book? Like, that would be a good pairing. And all Stegman said was, I would love to see that, but I'm not sure the direction that they're going to go. So that was exciting.
I'm trying to think, did Stegman ever, I don't think he ever did interiors. I think he might have done covers for Moon Knight.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah, here it is. 2014, issue number 3. Ah, that's such a badass cover.
Yeah. Hmm. Yes. But okay, now I have two, not negative stories, but they just sort of... And one is so... that I'm going to leave the creator's name out of it.
Oh, my.
So I will give you the in-between one. Not in Artist Alley. Sort of where Neil Adams goes. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, he ain't in Artist Alley. He has a bigger table. It's he's over by the smaller publishers.
Neil Adams Alley.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I hope you love him as much as I do, but you know I love him. Michael Golden was there.
Okay, go on.
Mother effer.
Wait, this is a bad story?
It's a so-so story.
Oh, okay, continue.
Just as a fan. He had prints in this, like, milk crate that was just like, I think they were $10 prints or $15 prints. Like, they were cheap enough. Like, and some of them were like G.I. Joe, Transformers. And then he had a tab that was like Nom. And I was like, Nom? I'm like, who does prints of Nom? I'm like, let me look. So I went right to him. And there was only one cover. And it was not a cover I would ever want a print of. I just wouldn't. Even though I would love to own a Nom cover, but not that one. Or a print of a Nom cover. But... like, a little part of me got a little sad because I was hoping for, like, some, like, Micronauts in there.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're going to give me Nom, like, you can't put some Micronauts in there? It's from the same, like, come on! So I was a little bummed out. But, like, Michael Golden, all he did was sit in the corner of his table, away from everyone.
Huh.
And you could tell he had a sketch list he had to do. So he was never looked up once. And I was talking to, I think it was his wife, the entire time. And she was out there shilling like the best person at, like she was out there like, we have foil prints over here. This is this. And here's the deal and blah, blah, blah. And if you want to sketch, Michael can do it. If you need to talk to him, you have to wait till he looks up and all this. Like, I was like, what? And she's like, well, if you need an autograph, as soon as he takes a break from his sketch, he can give you an autograph,
really?
But you have to wait till, yeah. And I was just like, are you fucking kidding? Like, even if that was the best non-print, I was like, motherfucker, like, this is the bird in the hand. It might be $15 or $20. And I get that your sketch is a hell of a lot more money.
Sure.
But guess what? It ain't my fault that you either draw slow or you compiled a sketch list that is way too much, and now you're backed up way too far. Both of those problems aren't Nick's problem. I'm sorry. Like, dude, you're out here, you're at a big fucking table.
You're at a convention, dude.
And this is the first day, dude. This is like the second hour of the first day. Mm. It'd be one thing if it was Sunday at 5. And he knows, like, shit, I have to do 7 more sketches. Oh, my God. How am I going to do that? But, dude, this is hour 2. And to hear his wife, like, you have to wait to, you know, for him to look up before he can autograph anything or talk to you. No. You know what? You know what table I never went by the rest of the con?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't make sense, dude. That's what I'm saying. When you go to a con, if you have a table, it should be a place for you to meet with fans and possibly network. Especially at a big con like that, you want to network.
Yeah, I would think.
Like, if you just want to sell sketches, then just do a sketch pre-order thing. And then you're done. Like, then you hang out at the con.
It's so weird, dude.
Because, like, he's not doing any work now, is he? I don't think he's worked in, like, 15, 20 years.
I don't know. I mean, he had prints of new stuff, but you can tell they were drawn to make prints of.
Oh, interesting.
You know, like I looked at like, and Klaus Janson was there. So I walked by his table and of course he had a line like, forget
sure.
about it.
Yeah.
Like, out the door.
Yeah.
But he had prints for sale. But in my head, I'm like, am I going to have to stand in this line to get prints? Like, I don't want 300 like comic books signed for God's sake. Like, I hate to say it, like that Hero Initiative bucket, that should be there for like, oh, you want an autograph? That's $5. Put it in that bucket. You don't have to pay me to autograph. You know, if you want to buy a print, great. That goes right in my pocket. Mm-hmm. But like, all these people with like, I swear to God, there were people with 60, 70 comic books.
God.
It's like, and of course, look at, I mean, the point of this was Klaus Janson, he had like maybe 6 prints, but you could tell they're all prints that I believe he did. I don't think they were ever in a comic book, but he did them to make prints of.
Sure.
And it's just like, and I even told Ronnie, I'm like, boy, you can tell, like, he knows exactly where his bread's buttered. Like, it was Punisher and Batman.
Right.
Like, 3 different ones. Like, you could just tell, like, okay, what's the most popular character at DC? All right, I'll do that. Okay, now Marvel. Okay, I'll do that. Like, I was waiting for a Wolverine print, you know? Just like... like, yep. But I hate to say it, that Batman print was pretty kick-ass, and if there wasn't a line out the door, I would have waited in line. But you know me, I can't do that.
But he was also available.
Available for what?
Like for people at the con.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to wait in line for 3 days.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna do that.
Sure.
Yeah. There was no waiting in line. No, no, no. But you could do that. But the problem is you're behind all these people with 70 comp. Like, that's where I need the representative of him to be right behind him. Notice me looking at the prints and be like, hey, do you want any prints? Cause if all you need is an autograph, he can autograph that real quick. Just like, let me buy prints. And then like, if somebody's sitting there with 70 comic books come on, dude. Unless you have to pay for his autograph, or he limits it to 5 or 10. 70 comic books is a little too much to ask.
Yeah.
That's a little crazy.
So I have seen in the past, like, year or two, a lot of creators will do, like, they'll have a sign on the table, like, limit 3 or limit 5. And mm-hmm. if you want more, like, I'll do them. But it's like, you know, $1 a signature, $3 a signature goes to the Hero Initiative bucket.
Yeah, I would be totally on board with that. Yeah. I didn't see those signs, so I... Oh, and another thing, and I didn't see this, but Dennis saw this, and this blew my freaking hair up, hair back. Did you know that a lot of people are now putting their comics in Mylar and cutting out windows where they want signatures?
Yes.
That blew my mind! And he's like, oh yeah, you see people pull these out in Mylar so they don't get wrecked. And I mean, that's a very smart thing. If you have an expensive comic that you want to get graded or sell or whatever, very smart thing to do.
Sure.
But Dennis is like, then they'll print out like Post-it notes and stick like, Chris Claremont, here's an arrow where I want your signature. John Byrne, here's an arrow where I want your signature. Like, what?
Yep.
I looked at Dennis and I'm like, well, there's a lot of anal retentive collectors out there. Mm-hmm. But don't you think, like, looking at something like that, that's just somebody who's going to sell that on eBay?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, because he wants every signature in the same spot.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yep.
That's yeesh, annoying. Yeesh. That's yeah. Annoying.
But, yeah, no, I had a buddy of mine that used to do that.
Really? With the cutouts?
Yeah. Cutouts, the post-it notes, and everything.
It's really smart, I will say that, because I had, like, Mike, what's his name? Mike Druckenberg? Drindenberg from Sandman.
Okay.
I had him autograph, like, Sandman 8 back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like, way back in the day. And it was one of those, like, I really want, like, the silver marker on the front cover because the cover's so dark it would really pop. And all he had was a black Sharpie. Hmm. So it just blends right into the cover.
Yeah.
It's like, damn it.
Yep, that's what you gotta have, a silver pen, dude.
Yep, I know. Hmm? I mean, if I really cared, I would be doing
it that way. I know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now here's my bad story that I won't tell you the creator. I was walking through Artist Alley on Friday, right across this guy who was just doing beautiful work. And it looks like the best thing I could compare it to is Guy Davis's work during Sandman Mystery Theater.
Okay.
Like, you know, Depression era. Steampunk, but like Depression era, Tommy guns, women in like, you know, like prohibition type, like skirts, you know, like frilly type skirts.
Sure.
The jazz age, that type of thing.
Yep.
So totally, like, all these prints just caught my eye and I was just like, tongue out, holy cow, these are beautiful. And I went up to him and I was talking to him and, you know, rapport back and forth. It was really cool. And he was doing exactly what you were talking about on your Comic Talk Today podcast. He was doing everything that you would want a creator to do. Mm-hmm. Like, totally engaged. I learned a little bit about his life and inspiration. And it made a good connection. So I was just like, okay, this all sounds good. Like, I might have to get a print for the, you know, bedroom. This sounds really cool. And then he goes, oh, and I also have my new hardback of, you know, my issues have been collected in this new hardback. And if you purchase this, then, and he opens up the front of this hardback, and it's a beautiful hardback, opens it up, and like there's this little blank little area in between like the title card and like the front hardback cover. And it's like blank, but that, you know, it has like all this filigree all around it, but then there's this blank square. And he goes, and I would do a sketch here for you. And I'll also include some stickers, and you get two of these, like the mini art prints. And he calls them plates. So I was like, oh.
Okay.
And the price was not unreasonable whatsoever. And this was like, the book was like probably 4 to 5 issues. So, you know, it's substantial. And he goes, oh, and it all comes like, you know, bag that you get to, you know, take with you. And it has the title of the book in his name.
Sure.
And I'm like, dang, like this guy really thought out his, you know, how to present this to people. Like he like even with the bag, moniker, you know, doing the bag with the title of it. I'm like, wow, you really thought this thing through. And I'm like, okay, sign me up. And he goes, all right, let me know the two prints you want. I'll put them in the bag right now. Bam, bam. And then he goes, here's my card. Give me a call. I should have this done in a couple hours. And I just looked at him and I go, dude, I'm here all weekend. I'm like, take your time. I'm like, if you get slammed, I'm like, I'll reach out tomorrow, which was Saturday.
Sure.
And he goes, oh, okay, if you don't mind, yeah, that's great. That's great. I appreciate knowing that, because then I won't feel so slammed. And of course, in my head, I'm thinking, well, the more time I give him, the sweeter the picture is going to be.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I'm easy like Sunday morning. No big deal. So I have his card, and Saturday rolls around, and I have Bendis vs. Millar at 10. At 11 o'clock, Action 1000. At 12 o'clock, the Batman panel. At 1:45, C.B. Sobolski. Like, I didn't even eat lunch. Like, I went from panel to panel to panel. I didn't have anything to eat. And by the time I hit the Batman panel, I'm like, holy Christ, I better text this guy. Like, I don't want him to think, you know, forget me. So I texted him and, you know, threw out some pleasantries and was like, hey, this is Nick. I bought your package yesterday. Just wanted to let you know I'm not going to be able to swing by until later this afternoon, if that's cool. Yeah, it's all done. Sounds great. You know, if I'm away, just I'll put a post-it note on your bag and I'll make sure that person, you know, delivers it to you.
All right.
So it totally made me feel like, all right, you know, hey, what could go wrong, right? Like, he's all buttoned up.
Sure. Like, apparently,
as a buyer, I felt very secure. It's like listening to people who buy expensive books from a buyer, and that buyer is like, let me take a picture of me putting them in shrink wrap and, you know, packaging up their stuff. And, you know, I'm going to send them, like, here's me doing the process of sending it to you. Like, that just makes you feel secure. Like, oh, that's cool. All right. He's putting all these stickers, do not bend, you know, that type of thing. So that's how I felt. So after the C.B. Sobolski, wait, hold on. I take that back. I went to my final panel of the day, which was at like, I don't know, 5? It was the Mark Waid one. So like, I waited the entire day. So I'm like, I got to pick this thing up. I'm like, I want to be in possession of this. So I go to his table. He's there and he's talking to two other people. And you know what? I just hung back and let him do his thing. And he sort of recognized, you know, he gave me the look like, hey, okay, I recognize you. Not, sure. You know, I'm sure he couldn't place Nick, but, you know, he recognized me. So he went through his spiel with these people. The people walk away and I said his name and he's like, oh yeah, Nick. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he pulls out his book, the book. And granted, I already paid for it. Like, I paid for it yesterday.
Sure.
So I'm just swinging by to pick it up. So he's just showing me the sketch and showing me that all of the art prints are in there and the stickers, stuff like that. And, you know, he's throwing out like, hey, if you post this on social, you know, call me out on it. Cause I want, you know, I love to see when people do that. I'm like, oh, absolutely. Cause I mean, Martin. You know me. I do that.
Oh, yeah.
I happily do that. So when he pulls the hardback out of the bag to show me the sketch, and the sketch was effing beautiful. I mean, just beautiful. I will take a picture of it and send it to you. When he pulls it out, it looks like he dropped the book from a second floor window.
Oh my God.
The front, that's the thing that kills me. I wish it was on the back. The front corner is so dinged up. It is dinged up. Probably it goes in, it dings so much that it goes in probably a quarter of an inch.
Holy cow.
If not more. So of course, when he showed, I see that the light glistens off of it, like it's, like it's God letting me know, like, you had a good day up until this point. Enjoy. So he like opens it up to show me the sketch, and I love the sketch, but like in my head, of course, as soon as I see the dent, I barely pay attention to the sketch. Cause I'm like, you know what? This is an independent dude. He personalized it to me. So there's no way he can resell this thing.
Right.
And if I bitch, I mean, this guy's he has a secondary job. Like he is supporting two kids and a wife. Like, sure. And then like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, you know, before he shows me this guy, like this is all in motion. Like in my head, I'm just like, do I be a dick? And like, hey dude, what are you giving me? Like, what happened here? Or do I just sort of eat it? Cause I know if I bitch about it, he will replace it. But then he's going to take the one that he already personalized, and you might as well just throw that right in the garbage. You can't resell that.
Sure.
So this independent dude's going to have to swallow the money that it costs to make that book.
And then you might just get a dick sketch on the back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like what's, what would inspire him to do a better sketch for me?
Yeah.
No, I answer nothing. I would be like, here's, you know, the Elephant Man. Yeah. Here's a pretty sketch of a guy with a bag over his head. There you go. Move on.
Oh,
so
wow.
I just swallowed it and was like, you know what? That's the con. I can't do anything about that. That's sure. The con.
Well, and I think, so you said it's an indie guy.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm not going to ask who it is, but would I know this indie guy?
I don't know. I would hope you do, because right. his stuff's fantastic.
Well, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah. And just to let you know, you'll see it on social very soon.
Oh.
So.
Oh, I'm excited.
I might not show the corner of said book, but I am going to take pictures. I haven't taken pictures of any of my stuff, so I am going to be posting it on social. Because other than that, the guy was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I looking at his work, I'm like, how can you not be gobbled up by a publisher? Like, it was, I'm telling you, it was like Guy Davis doing Sandman Mystery Theater. It was beautiful, beautiful period piece.
Is this guy available for hire?
Well, I have his card right here. Yeah, I'm sure he is.
I'll need to see what this art looks like. We'll talk about the book later.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a tough spot, dude. But I think I don't think you did the wrong thing because
I did the right thing. I know that for a fact.
Oh, sure.
Believe me, we're not going through this story hoping that you're going to come back with the dude. You got to reach out to him. You got to get an extra book. Like, no. The whole point is like sometimes cons do that type of stuff to you. Like these are independent people. Yeah. This is not Frank Miller and you paid $2,000 for his autograph and he ripped your comic.
Oh, book. Then he better fucking give me a new one.
Yeah. That's when you walk over to Frank Miller's rep and be like, yo, he just effed up my comic book.
Yep.
I need something for this.
Yep.
Like, sorry, Charlie. No. This is an independent dude. Did he drop it on purpose? Of course he didn't. Give me a break. Like, I'm not thinking that whatsoever, but I'm sure every collector that would have gone through their head too.
Well,
what just happened? What?
That's now a collector's item, Nick. It's one of a kind. Because you have the only one that's been dropped on the corner.
Is that it?
Yeah. It's a corner dropped error variant.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I love your thinking.
No, some people do it on purpose. Like, I don't know if Matt Kent still does it. But he used to do the burn on the page. You know what I'm talking about?
Dude, I will happily take if somebody is like doing stuff like that. Sign me up.
Yeah, Matt Kent used to do that. He used to take like he'd do something wrong with it, like on purpose. And the most popular thing he would do is he would burn like the corner edge of the book. And then like sometimes he would take like the little charcoal from the burnt paper and like kind of do his name on the page with it, you know, or something like that. That's pretty cool. Hey,
I like that. Trust me.
That's pretty awesome.
But this was I guarantee you it was a walking to his booth or back to the hotel with all of his shit. And it just happened to like topple over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it isn't, trust me, it isn't one of those things that's going to harm the book. Dull any, like, trust me, I will be looking for this guy, and if I was going to do a Sandman mystery theater, like, sketch, I would want him to do it. Like, he's real. I sent you a couple pictures. He does some fantastic stuff.
Yeah, I like this. Dude, this guy could be my brother.
Your brother?
Yeah, he looks like he could be a Ferretti. I'm just looking over his art. He's got a Patreon page. I do like this. I really like his art.
I really hope he comes to a con by you, because you need to see, like, his book's black and white, but like all of his prints are color. But even the book, it has really nice flow. It uses black space really well. Like, but trust, like I said, this was a human, like, stuff happens, you know? I can guarantee you this guy, it probably ate him up to even show the cover.
But the guy's
talented.
And
he teaches. I mean, his full-time job, he's a teacher.
Oh, no kidding.
That's what's scary. Like, he took a sabbatical from like comics and cons.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to like get this book that I bought. He wanted to like finish that up so he didn't have any distractions with cons or anything like that.
Well, I need to email this guy because his website is broken.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Nothing in his shop is loading.
Uh-oh. But did you see the back of his business card? Like, that's pretty detailed work.
Oh, that's the back of the card.
Yeah.
I thought that was one of the prints you got from him.
No. Oh. I mean, you see my thumb over there. Like, that's how small it is.
I really like this.
I know. He does great work, dude. But can you see the Sandman Mystery Theater?
Oh, hell yeah.
But it's like women dressed in, like, Prohibition era, like, dress.
Yeah, like, mean, like kind of burlesque, sort of.
A little bit, yeah. There's a little cheesecake, but it's not over the edge.
Little cheesecake.
But then it's like they're holding on to, like, Tommy guns and stuff like that. They're just kick-ass. Why do you think that was attractive to me? You know what I'm like? This is something, like, I like where he's at. Like, for me, Sandman Mystery Theater was something completely different.
Yeah.
And this sort of tapped into that for me. Mm-mm. Even if it's just gangsters, it's like, well, at least it's something different. It's a different time period. Because usually when you see stuff like this, it's like steampunk. And it's like, I don't want that.
Oh, man, I need to order something from this guy. I really like this.
I think you need to find out if he's coming by you.
Where's he from?
I mean, He lives in Boston, so I would assume he'd be hitting cons by you, without a doubt.
Oh, yep. Tisbury, Massachusetts.
There you go.
Huh.
But that's the, like I said, that's the only negative entire experience.
That's not bad.
No, I don't think it is.
I wouldn't say that's negative at all. I mean, like, yeah, it kind of sucks that the book's dinged up, but.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you live and learn.
Yeah. Yep.
I can walk out of the con and drop one of my prints, you know? Stuff happens. Mm-hmm. So.
Man, he really likes the 30s.
I know. But, buddy, I really like the
30s. Yeah, the 30s. 30s are pretty awesome. Well, not if you lived during the 30s.
Right.
But looking back at it.
Mm-hmm. That's like looking back at the 50s.
Yeah.
Like the Cold War, like the paranoia. Everything was like nice and beautiful and shiny, you know, like all this sterling silver, like all this positivity, but yet you're scared of, you know, the Russians, and oh god, there's some good time periods.
check out the piece I just put in our chat.
No. Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
You know, the piece you just put in the chat, that actually reminds me a little bit of like Michael Lark a little bit.
I could see maybe that.
Maybe it's the coloring. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I like the pretty coloring. It's kind of like a more detailed version of like Sin City, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's not black and white because there's a lot of yellows, but I like that. Like, obviously not. What's it called? It's not monotone because there's like three colors on here, but there's got to be like some kind of name for this.
For sure.
Yeah. I dig it, man. Yeah. I'm going to get in touch with this guy.
Yeah, he's good. He's really, really good.
And his book is on Comixology? Huh.
Mm.
Did you, he's got 3 books.
No.
Really? did you flip through the book?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and the sketch is beautiful. Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Hmm.
So. Highly recommended. He's quite talented.
I like this. All right, I'm going to check this out. I'm going to assume the book you got is the one that's got the 30s people on the front.
Yeah. I would love to. Yeah, I'm sure it is.
There's guns on the cover.
There's 2 women holding Tommy guns on the cover?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's on Comixology.
Yeah, it's good, dude. I'm looking forward to reading it. I don't know how he is storytelling wise, but after looking at all of his stuff, like, honest to God, I was picturing, I think he's really good. And in my head, I was picturing you wanting to do a commission of like vintage Batman with Catwoman.
Oh, F yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I could see him doing a really cool Catwoman in the skirt with the cat and nine tails. Like, I could see it. Like, that would be one hell of a drawing.
Yep. Yep. That's one idea. I was thinking more of a 30s era Poison Ivy.
Ooh, that would be good too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like this guy. When we launch Nerd Legion Comics, he can draw my book.
Ooh, I like it. I think we should grab a hold of him before all of a sudden, like, oh, he just signed to XYZ. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So yeah, I'll be posting some pictures. I'll be sharing with everyone probably before this episode even, I would guess, even comes out.
For sure. Matter of fact, I'm gonna see if I Unless can get this guy on Comic Talk today.
Nice. Well, make sure I'm the connection there, son.
Oh, for sure, bro.
All right.
I'll just make sure he doesn't listen to this episode.
I don't think I said anything bad about him.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
I still don't. I mean, hey, you could throw it out to me. Trust me. You think I'm going to be dicky where I'm taking a close up picture of the corner that's dented? No, I'm not. No, not at all. You really think I roll that way? No.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm going to buy this in Comixology and I'm going to read it. And if I dig it, then I'll contact the guy.
I hope you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. So that's dude, cool. we're only here to help people.
Oh, that's for sure, dude.
I mean, I don't even know his storytelling yet, but just visually looking at the black and white pages, even just if that's all eye candy, I would. And the great thing about it, like, women were loving his stuff. Like, there's a little cheesecake, but it's not like, oh my God, look at the boobs toppling out. You know, it's like, no, he draws women really, really, like, sexy but strong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, hey, I approve that message.
I approve as well.
Yeah.
What are the stories you got from the convention? Anything at the panels that you attended that you were surprised at?
I went to the Valiant panel Friday, which I'm sure you have heard.
That was the Harbinger panel or the Shadowman panel?
No, I missed the Shadowman panel because I had to go to the Mark Wade.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was the Harbinger War 2.
Yes.
Matt Kent can really sell a book.
Hell yeah, he can.
His descriptions of, like, what he has planned for XYZ story is very compelling. Not as good as Dan Didio, but, you know, hey, who is? But that got me, like, hearing him talk about the book, that got me very excited. When they went through their calendar of books, it sort of left me scratching my head because it sounds like they only have two books set for 2019.
Oh.
And that sort of scared, that sort of, the,
you mean like big
that's
books?
A little concerning. Well, like the Life and Death of Toyo Harada.
Yeah.
And there's one other book that they mentioned for 2019.
Yeah.
So that's, it's just like, huh, you would think that you would be planning a little bit further down the road than just up until the fall.
Yeah, but I mean, those are new, right? Like, they're still continuing with the current stuff.
Yeah, you hope.
And I did listen to the Shadowman panel. It seems like they're working through some pitches for some ideas.
We did hear that too.
Yeah.
About the pitches.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So.
Way to recycle content, bros.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Matter of fact,
it didn't instill a lot of confidence. Let's put it that way. But I will give on a positive tip. I will give them a lot of credit because they mentioned, I believe, at both panels. I think Roddy told me that they said we understand everybody has a lot of concern. After what happened in the past couple months, and we've dedicated a space within our booth that if you want to sit down with an editor, anyone that's there at the time that you come by our booth, please let us know. We've dedicated people to answering any and all questions or concerns, really? Or if you just want to avoid, you know, give your two cents, we will sit down there and we will happily talk to anyone that comes by.
Yeah.
And like we were all discussing it, you know, a Saturday night. And I just, you know, I forget who I told. I think I told DeWan. But I was just like, you know what? No comic book company has to do that. I'm like, everyone is freaking out. But what comic book company feels like, you know what? We need to do a little damage control or at least be a little transparent here and listen to the audience. well as like let them know our side. Like, you don't see that. Like, that's pretty impressive that they would even think to do something like that.
Yeah, but you know, that's not that's like putting a Band-Aid on your arm when you just cut your hand off. You know what I'm saying? Because I heard stuff about, like, the booth, for example. And mm-hmm. I don't know if I talked to you about the booth that I saw a couple weeks ago at our local con.
No.
But there wasn't a whole lot of traffic mm-hmm. at the booth. And it seems to me like, you know, having somebody there to talk to existing fans to, like, ease their fears about what's going on isn't quite the way to go about it. They need to be tackling it very proactively. And that's kind of more a reactionary thing.
And what? Setting that up?
No, just like dealing with people. You need to be more proactive with it. Like, all right, so at a con, you have 100,000 people, let's say, at C2E2. Like, how many of those people are Valiant fans? Like, we'll say like 100.
Sure.
Just to go by market share. Mm-hmm. 100 people are there. Like, that's not really outreach. You see what I'm saying? Like, you need to be going where there's tons of people that you can reach at one time. Right? So, like, they need to be addressing stuff on, like, public websites or, like, going to the Facebook groups and doing that or going on podcasts and directly doing that where you can actually reach people. Like, you're not reaching anybody at a con like this.
I can see developing. Yeah, but then you're just going to give the same corporate BS speak. If all of a sudden you're sending out a manifesto.
Well, what's the difference between that and having you sit down with an editor to talk about direction?
It's a lot more personalized, because I might have different thoughts than what you have.
I mean, maybe.
I don't see Marvel or DC doing that.
Because they don't have to.
But I don't see Boom doing it. I don't see Black Mask doing it. You think they're going to sit down and be like, let's go through why our books were delayed.
Yeah, but you know that you know Valiant fans are different.
But they don't. My point is they don't have to do that.
They don't. But the thing is, Valiant fans are very pro-Valiant. And Valiant has to do this kind of thing. The problem is, every time they've tried to do this kind of thing before, they fucked it up. And so now that Dinesh is gone, and Hunter's gone, and Warren's gone, the only person there right now that people can relate to is Adam. And I love Adam to death, but Adam is a different kind of person. And he rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
Sure.
And so it just that doesn't seem like the right thing, in my eyes at least, right? Because now, now they're worried that the hardcore base that has been supporting them for years is jumping ship, because they are, and they need to find some way to fix that.
Hey, do you think I'm the cheerleader here?
Oh, I know. No. I know.
I mean, trust me, I thought it was completely shitty when Friday night I'm laying in bed, it's 2 a.m, and I'm flipping through like my Twitter feed, and then all of a sudden I see a story that Warren resigns. And I was like, you mother effer, like, you could have, if you stemmed the tide, you could have mentioned that during your effing panel. Like, wow. I'm like, yeah. that's being transparent.
Yeah. Yeah, tomorrow's comic talk today is about that.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
And I hope you can talk freely.
I talk very freely.
Okay.
My thing was, I'm not going to spoil it. I mean, by the time this comes out, that'll be out anyway, but I kind of compared that to before, and then the stuff that I'm hearing and seeing that C.B. Cebulski is doing at Marvel, which I find really interesting.
I don't know any of this, so
yep.
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Yep. Let's just say from what I hear, everybody that's met the guy is really excited for the guy being there.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, retailers are very excited.
I got news for you. Listening to how he manages and how he is going to take what his mentors have done and filter it through what he wants to do. And this is, I mean, he mentioned 10 minutes of his panel. And he's like, I'm the type of person that is not going to lead through direction. I'm going to get in the trenches. So everybody is, you know, rowing the same exact direction. We're all working towards creating the absolute best comic possible. I don't want to leave anyone hanging. I don't want people to have questions. I want to be in there and roll up my sleeves. And if I have to help out, I'll jump in there and help.
Yep.
And he's like, that's the only way I know to manage. I know a lot of people are very hands off, but I'm not. And it was like, dang, I hate to say it in my head. I'm like, this was the panel I wanted to go to. This was what you were selling me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought the panel was going to be this, as well as wait till you see this event, you know, in a year and a half. This is what we're going to be doing. Like, that's sort of that's how the panel description was written up. But, you know, you got the preview of like what made him have this like manifesto. Mm-hmm. This is how I'm going to do it.
Sure.
And it was very exciting to hear. Like when he talked about a mutant, like next year's mutant event is going to, you know, encapsulate this, this, and this, and it's going to include these people and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, all right, that sounds pretty cool. Like, yeah, I have liked him for a very, very long time, probably a decade. So that puts my heart at ease. Like looking forward, like I could care less that all these creators are jumping off Marvel and everyone, what was it, a year ago was like, oh my God, Marvel's talent is all gone. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? This guy rowing the ship here, I'm pretty sure. And especially him coming up through like talent acquisition, I'm pretty sure he can spot good talent from people that are at cons.
Oh yeah.
And they might not be great right now, but I guarantee you in 2-3 years, he probably will find more winners in 2-3 years. Like, yes, they're going to have to work out some stuff for a couple of years, but I bet you anything, he's going to have a lot more home runs than failures.
I agree.
Just
I'm excited.
Listening to him.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for what he's going to do. I really am.
Yeah. But I got to say, looking at Valiant, if they don't think, even as fan, like, even taking away the fan base, if you don't think all these people jumping off for whatever reason isn't going to scare other creators enough to even think, hey, I'm going to jump on board Valiant. No matter what the money situation is, no matter what freedom they're going to get, I would be a little scared. And that's why, like, when I hear their pitches for next year and it only sounds like they have 2 comic books in place that they're like throwing out, and could they have a lot more to announce at New York or at San Diego?
Oh yeah.
Sure. But since this is the first con you're hitting pretty much, and what, C2E2 is what, the 3rd or 4th largest con in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Like, you're not making any of your hardcore fans being the first con, you're not making any of them feel any better, any more secure of what they can expect down the road.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. That was an eye-opener. And I hate to say it, like, when I'm listening to Dewan, because we went out and picked up some pizzas while everybody else was back at the place, and he was, you know, talking through what how he's feeling right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I just looked at him. I'm like, dude, you realize even during the relaunch when like even I was jumping on board Valiant for the first time, I'm like, still when they were at their zenith after the relaunch, out of 100 comic book fans, maybe 2 are Valiant fans.
Yep.
I'm like, every Valiant fan is hardcore and passionate.
Well, I mean, according to the numbers, 0.87 out of every 100 fans are Valiant fans.
But my point is, yes, you're passionate and like crazed fans, which is fantastic. I am too. But when push comes to shove, you're still such a small, minute amount that you're not even causing a ripple.
Oh, yeah, right.
The only thing that's hurting you is having all of these like big websites write stories about the decline of Valiant, because guess what? All the creators are reading this stuff. They're not paying attention to like Valiant, you know, fan boards. They read this stuff and they're like, I don't know if I should be doing that. You know?
Yep.
Or like, unless they're backing up the Brinks truck, like what's, if they came up to you, the first thing you creator, if you don't know, if Valiant is not on your radar, you'd go to the Google machine or DuckDuckGo machine and you'd be typing that in and then you'd be reading the first 4 articles about Valiant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're not going to be glowing articles.
You
know?
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're grabbing people right out of fantastic artists out there, I'm sure there is. But you're not going to grow your fan base that way. You know? How many Marvel fans are going to go over if, like, I don't even know this person. He just came out of college and now you want me to spend, whatever it is, $3.99 on an issue? It might look great, but still, it's like, I don't even know this guy. They wouldn't even come over when they were paying big bucks for, you know, established writers and creators. The bump wasn't really there.
You're right. I mean, overall, yeah, they're doing, I would say, better than they have been. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're doing all those pre-order bundles.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
That's where
you're inflating. Yeah, you're inflating the number.
Yep. Yep.
Which, hey, I can't blame. I mean, shit, come on. Marvel's publishing every 3 weeks. DC's publishing every 2 weeks. I mean, everybody's inflating.
Yeah, but that's different because Marvel's doing like 85 books and DC does like 60, you know?
Right, sure.
They're doing 3 books.
Yes, but they're also hanging their, like, you know, all these, like, variant covers, you know, they're hanging their hat on the 80s gimmick stuff.
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're both on the same side of the plate, you know?
Sure, sure.
Honest to God, I walked out of there Friday, and I was just like, that didn't make me feel more confident in what you're trying to like, it just didn't, like, okay, like, all right.
Yeah, that's how I felt yesterday. So Ronnie sent me the panel, and I posted it, and then I listened to it at work. And I was like, huh, okay. I gotta talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's really strange that, like, yes, they address the acquisition by, like, come talk to us at the panel. You know, here, we have this area set aside. And I appreciate just having a soundboard where, you know, hey, if I wanted to, I could go bitch and moan. You know, you're not going to get any information out of anybody that sits down with you. You know, they're going to be talking marketing talk.
Yeah, sure.
But it's really, it was really strange that, like, I don't know if Ronnie recorded the question and answer at the end.
Most of it.
But, like, one of the questions is, bring back Archer and Armstrong. And it's like, there's so many other things that should be asked right now. and you're concerned about Archer and Armstrong.
Yeah, I didn't feel like there were enough hard-hitting questions.
No. Mm-mm. No.
Actually, any hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, and my guess is the picture at the end was because my guess is they were probably shocked at how many people were actually at that panel.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. Because I don't know if they did the same thing at the Shadow Man panel, because the Shadow Man panel, I'm sure, was probably a third the size.
Yeah, it was a decent crowd from what I saw.
Yeah. So. It was very strange. Very, very odd. I've been in situations like that with takeovers, and the temperature of the room definitely felt like that. So,
yeah.
It's just shocking that Warren packed his bags like 4 hours before that panel, or whenever that was.
Well, that's not the case. That's just when it was announced.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, it was announced well before the panel, but God forbid they make any mention of it. So,
well,
it was telling. Because, you know, if they would have mentioned, I'm sure the questions and the direction of that panel probably would have switched pretty quick. You would have been pushing big-ass buttons.
Yeah, and I mean, they're doing the panels to promote books, right?
Yeah. Sure,
it's not like a State of the Valiant panel, right?
But don't open it up to questions. Is my point. Like no one in that audience. My guess is no one in that audience knew that even happened. So it was just a easy way to. Well, we'll take questions today. We probably won't take them tomorrow.
Yeah, but you know, like, you have to open to questions regardless. Because maybe it's the conspiracy theorist in me, but if you don't open up to questions, then you've got something to hide.
Yeah.
Right?
I would agree.
That's always the case.
I would agree.
It's like whenever they do, like, politicians, whenever they get into a scandal and they have press conferences and no questions, no questions. And they just walk off. Like, that doesn't bode well for you.
Yeah, the days of that is long gone.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Or the reporter asking a question and then the person's like, "Get this guy out of here! Yeah. Get him out of here!" Like, no, you can't do that anymore.
I don't know. It's a new America. Maybe you can.
Oh boy, don't remind me.
Yeah, that's state of affairs.
Heck yeah.
Bad state of affairs.
Mm-hmm. So you got anything for me, buddy?
Yeah, I went to see A Quiet Place.
Oh, and?
Nicholas Wetmore.
Yes.
Holy ballsack.
Yes.
It is the best horror movie I've seen in a decade.
Well, you know the one question I need answered.
Okay.
I can't believe you don't know it.
What's the question?
Should Nick Wetmore go see this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Come on! There's no way I can see that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like cats jumping out of the side of the screen.
There was only, I want to say maybe like two or three scenes where that happened.
Yeah, but you know I don't like the tension.
There's a lot of tension.
I can watch heads getting lopped off left and right. No worries.
It's the tension I don't like. You don't see anybody's heads getting lopped off. I mean, there are several people that die from these monsters in the movie, but it's like super quick because you don't even see the monsters like fully until close to the end.
And is that a good thing?
Yes.
And when you finally see the monster, is it well paid off? Or does it look like, oh, that's a guy in a rubber suit?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No. And I'm assuming there was CG.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you could also, all right, then, was there payoff, or did you just look at that and go, wow, they didn't put any money into that CG?
No, I wanted to, like, pause when you first see the monster fully, and there's more than one. Mm-hmm. That's not a spoiler either. When you finally see the monster fully, like, I wanted to, like, pause the movie and, like, analyze the monster.
But you were in the movie theater, so you couldn't do that.
Of course.
Right.
Because the design is interesting. It's like, you know how you know how in the Aliens movie, when you finally see the alien, you're like, huh, like, this is a very alien-looking creature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how I felt with this one. And it's no secret that, like, it's not a spoiler either. The monsters hunt by sound.
Oh, yeah, that's in the trailer.
Yeah, that's in the trailer. But when you finally see the reveal of how they hunt by sound, little nerdy Martin's like, huh, pause this movie right here so I can analyze, like, the anatomy of this monster so I can understand how they do what they do. And there is actually one, maybe two scenes where they do, like, a real close-up of, like, how these monsters hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fascinating. And Nick, let me tell you, there's a scene where I literally, like, busted out crying.
What?
Like, I've been to movies where, like, I'll tear up. But there's a scene where, like, I just couldn't control myself.
Somebody gets their head lopped off, nope. And then you're like, that was beautiful.
There's no head lopped off.
Okay, good.
They don't show any of that. But it was really well done because, you know, like, all right, so, like, post-apocalyptic stuff is really overdone, right?
For sure.
But every once in a while, you come upon, like, this one new thing that, like,
yes.
really tries to do something different with the genre.
Like Escape from New York.
Like,
thank you. Bye.
And I had that twice this week.
Mm-hmm.
One, when I went to see A Quiet Place.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is post-apocalyptic. It's like, mm-hmm. Like, it never says how this happened. Like,
when, was it like the M. Night Shyamalan film?
No, not
in
quite.
No. In that you did not know what to expect.
I mean, I kind of knew what to expect.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
I kind of knew what to expect. But so I had this twice. So one was A Quiet Place in film.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was Analog from Image Comics in comic format.
Hmm.
Where, like, I really felt like I love post-apocalyptic stuff. Like, anytime anything comes out that's post-apocalyptic, I'll read it or watch it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that movie in this comic took some really interesting choices with how they handled a post-modern human society. And I thought it was really well done. Both of them. Yeah. So, anyways, A Quiet Place was amazing.
I can't believe that you would be recommending this to me, one, knowing how much of a scaredy cat I am. That's shocking. But I need to know how my girl Emily Blunt.
So she had no makeup in the movie.
Oh yeah.
And she was absolutely beautiful as always.
Daddy. Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
God. I love the premise of the film. I think it just would be too tense and nervous for me. I don't like stalking. I don't like tension. That's the part of, like, any horror or suspense. Like, I don't like suspense.
Sure.
I can handle gore. Oh, God. Even the trailer. I think we even talked about it on Nerdy Legion. That Red Band trailer was freaking scary. you must be the worst person to see a film with. Because you're stopping the film so you can analyze the picture.
No. I rarely ever do that.
I mean, the audience Members must be so pissed off when you're stopping this film to look at the creature.
It was just really interesting. Like, the creature is pretty much a giant ear.
Ear?
A giant ear.
Ear?
Ear.
E-A-R.
E-A-R.
An ear?
Yeah.
Well, an ear with a mouth on it?
That's probably a bad description.
It have like big animal ears?
What I mean to say by that, it actually
like
has no. It actually
like
it has no. It has no like external ears. It doesn't look like an ear.
Oh, okay.
But its entire like head is designed to function as an ear.
It's like one big hearing aid.
Yes. And the hearing aid plays a very important part in this movie.
Oh, brother. I hate when you don't spoil stuff. I want to unpack this mother effing movie, and I know you're not going to play with me.
No, because I want you to see it. I want everyone to go see it.
I don't want to see it.
I think when it comes out on like streaming or Redbox or whatever, you should rent it and watch it. And that way you're like in the comfort of your own home. You can have the lights on. If it gets too much, you can pause it and walk away. I think it's so worth seeing.
Good God.
So worth
seeing. Is my girl in it a lot?
Of course.
All right, then I'll see it. Done and done.
I'm going to see Mary Poppins just for her.
Hell yeah, you're going to see Mary Poppins. Are you kidding me? That looks great. I'll go see that in the show.
A Quiet Place. And I gotta tell you, what's his name?
I'm not afraid of that.
John Straczynski, is that his name?
What?
The main guy in the movie. The guy from The Office.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Emily Blunt's husband.
Sure.
Yes. I didn't know they were married until this movie came out.
What?
Dude, I don't follow that stuff. Are you kidding?
Adorable.
Anyways, he was freaking amazing also.
He's a good actor. I'm looking forward to his Tom Clancy thing he's going to be doing.
Oh, yeah. That comes out, this month, right? Or next month?
I thought it was next month.
Okay. Yeah, I want to see that. You know, he wants to be Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, I would like that. Ooh.
Yeah, he's been on social, like, pleading Marvel to make him Mr. Fantastic.
Oh my God, that'd be so good. All right, let's go down this rabbit since you won't go down to A Quiet Place so I can dissect that monster.
We can go down the A Quiet Place rabbit hole, but it's only been out for like 2 days.
I know, that's why we shouldn't. But let's go down this rabbit hole. Build me a Fantastic Four movie with John Straczynski, whatever his name is, as Mr. Fantastic. Yes. Mm-hmm. Who is Sue Storm?
Emily Blunt.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Yeah.
Would she have to have blonde hair?
All right. So I prefer dark-haired Emily Blunt. But
I know, but she's also done. She's done blonde.
Yeah. In this movie, she's in A Quiet Place. She's blonde.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Okay. What about Ben? Ugh, I hate even putting. How about we put anyone as Ben Grimm?
Yeah, like,
no one's going to emote through that stupid rock face.
Exactly. Like, who would you pick? Like, the guy from The Shield. He was already Ben Grimm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, with a better script, he would be fantastic.
Sure.
He would. And guess what? You only need, 20 minutes of the movie? 10 minutes of the movie?
Make, like, Peter Dinklage Ben Grimm. How about that?
Aww. That ain't right. What about Johnny? Who would you cast as Johnny?
Johnny would be the tough one, man. I really don't know.
I know.
I want to say like the Captain America guy, but he was also already Johnny. What's his name?
Yeah, the guy you're talking about, the Captain America guy. Right.
But like when he played Johnny, he was. His career was just kind of starting, I would say, right?
Martin.
And I think based on what I've seen in Cap and other roles, I have a higher regard for him now than I did when he was Johnny Storm.
He's leaving to pursue real film, okay?
So that means his career is over.
Thank you. Yes. he wants to be in the next Notebook.
He's going to be in off-Broadway shows.
Exactly, yes. Can I go against type?
Yeah.
I'm going to make Johnny Storm the older brother of Sue. Mm. And I'm going to go, because I think his attitude is right for Johnny, but he's an older actor. And this might be completely crazy, but I'm going to do it. Johnny Knoxville.
Dude, Johnny Knoxville's got a new movie coming out.
Yeah, okay.
He does.
All right.
He does. Let me tell. Let me recap this movie for you.
With Marty Scorsese? Come on now.
No, this movie is basically a Jackass episode.
Of course.
Like, we started watching the trailer, and what was that movie he did? Bad Grandpa or Big Grandpa or something like that?
Uh-huh.
So it starts off like that, right? Like, he's the grandpa to this little girl, and he's, like, babysitting her or whatever. And then he tells her the story about how he used to own this amusement park. And, like, the amusement park he owned was before, like, Six Flags or any of the big, like, amusement parks came around. And it was kind of like a shitty place, but... Like, it was the only place around, so it was super popular. Mm-hmm. And then when this big theme park comes in, like, nobody's going there. So he relaunches it, but it's like an extreme theme park.
Oh, brother.
Right? So, like, you can go down, like, those water slides, but there's no water in it. He just has it, like, looped up, and you go down on, like, this, like, I don't fucking know, they're like a skateboard type thing.
Sure.
Or, like, he takes, you know, like, water slides. Sometimes you have double water slides, right? And they're parallel mm-hmm. to each other. Well, he, like, at the end of it, he crisscrosses the water slides. So, like, technically, you could just, like, ram into whoever the other person is going down the other slide. Like, super dangerous.
At the end of the water slide, are there two really big fat dudes with their pants down and... At the end of the scene, the person's face goes right into his butt. Oh, it sounds so highbrow.
It looked like Bam Margera was in the movie, but I couldn't tell.
Well, there's no way in hell.
Not Bam. I was going to say, there's
no way in hell he's in it.
No, Party Boy.
I don't think he can be in it either.
Why?
Aren't both of those dudes dead?
Is Party Boy dead?
I could have swore he was.
All right, let's look it up. What's his name? Chris Pontus.
Yes. All right. Party Boy. I love that you remember him. I love it.
Oh, he is, dude. Here it is. 2018 Action Point. Yeah, Party Boy's in the movie.
Unbelievable. I still think you'd be a good Johnny Storm. Sorry, Pally.
All right, let me tell you. Johnny Knoxville does a lot of stupid shit, but he's done a couple, like, semi-serious roles, and he was really good.
Yeah. I know. He could do some good stuff. He just keeps falling back on Jackass.
Yeah, yeah. All right, anyway, so this movie's called Action Point, and it's basically Jackass with a storyline.
Please, no thank you. Good God. So frightening. God.
Oh man. So yeah. It was funny watching the trailer though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did your wife watch it? Like where does she fall with that dumb type of comedy?
Everybody was cracking up at the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, it was pretty funny.
Gotcha.
I don't think if there were any other trailers that like I remember. I don't think so. I wasn't paying attention, to be honest. Nothing nothing really grabbed me.
You were just eating your big bucket of popcorn?
Nope. I don't eat popcorn, dude. I don't like popcorn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
One of those fancy boys.
Yep. Well, we had just eaten dinner, so I was like still stuffed.
Okay.
So you didn't even get... Oh, we went to the Tropical Grill.
Tropical Grill.
Yeah, it's a chain.
Okay.
At least down here it is. I know there's at least a couple of them.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Caribbean food. So I had a Cuban sandwich.
Nice.
With yuca fries. Delicious.
Look at you.
Really good.
Look at you.
This episode not sponsored by Tropical Grill.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Gotcha. I wanted to get Korean barbecue. My wife's like, let's just go down this one and see what we can find. I was like, all right, fine. So we start driving, driving, and we pass by a bunch of places. And finally, we pass by this, and I did this on purpose. We're on the road opposite, going the opposite direction of the movie theater. And I wanted to go that way because there's a new comic store that opened up. And so I'm trying to find this comic shop. And finally I found it. And I was like, oh my God, look, it's a comic shop. And Reagan's like, oh, we should go. And I was like, hell yeah, we should go. And my wife's like, listen, we need to go eat and then you guys can go to the comic shop.
Did you feel the entire breath of her dramatic eye roll when oh look, a comic shop. Oh brother.
Yeah.
So now I see why we were driving in circles.
So at the place where we turned around, there was the Tropical Grill, there was Eggs Up, I think it is, like a breakfast place. And then this other Korean barbecue place. And I was like, well, nice. let's try Tropical Grill, we've never been there. I was like, alright, that's fine. And we go in, and I was like, what the F is this? It's like a sub shop. But,
really?
But I saw they had Cuban sandwiches on the menu, so I was like, alright, I'll just get one of those. There's two sandwiches I always need to try, if a place has it. One is the Cuban sandwich, and the other one is a Philly cheesesteak.
I know you love the cheesesteak.
Hell yeah, I do.
I know you do.
Hell yeah, I do.
How was the Cuban?
It was good. It was good. And they had all these sauces, so I put like a bunch of sauces on my plate, and then I was like dipping my yuca fries into all the sauces. They had this jalapeno sauce.
Ooh.
That was really effing good.
Dang.
And they had, like this honey mustard that had, like, it had to have some kind of Indian spice because it almost tasted like Indian food. Maybe like cumin or something. I don't know.
Nice.
But, yeah, it was good. It was delicious. And then my wife had a steak something bowl with, Spanish rice. And Reagan had some kind of chicken bowl with white rice.
Nice.
Yep. And then we went to check out the new comic shop.
And how was that?
It was good. It's very small.
Yeah.
Very small. It's in a little strip mall. And it's got really high ceilings, like maybe 20 foot ceilings. But it's tiny. I'm pretty sure I can fit that shop in my studio.
Oh wow.
Not quite, but close to it. It's probably like, I don't know, about 12, 15 foot wide and like 30, 40 feet long.
Dang.
Like it's really small. And,
did they have the expensive books behind the counter?
Yes, they do. Not very many. Nothing that I wanted. They did have an amazing fantasy, what is it, 15, I think it is?
Okay.
He had one in there. But so when you walk in on the left, the whole wall is, new comics.
Ooh.
So you can get the last like 2 or 3 weeks worth of new comics, single issues. And then in the middle, there's, two big bookshelves, about like 5 foot tall, about 10 foot long. And they're open, so they have books on both sides. So two of those full of trades.
Mm.
And then there's a third row with like these tiny bookshelves. They're like 5 foot by like, I don't know, 2 foot wide or 2 foot squared. And they have like toys and collectibles and things like that. And then on the right wall, they have just all board games. So it was good.
Okay.
So we perused through that. We had like an hour to kill, so me and Reagan looked through the books for like 30, 45 minutes. She got Rick and Morty, trade, and mm-hmm. I got Death Note.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw when you called out your brother.
Yep. So I got that. Haven't opened it yet, but it looked cool. It looked cool. And the guy was super nice. I think we only saw like one or two other people go in there, and like they came mm-hmm. in, bought some singles, and ate and left. So I don't know like how the business is doing, but it's a satellite shop to another shop in the area. It's Planet Comics. The big store is down, I want to say like 20-30 minutes away from me, on the next county over. And that's a pretty hefty shop, pretty big shop. But they decided to open this location in Greenville, which is good. And it's away from the other shops. Borderlands is the main shop, and they're on Lawrence Road. And then like literally two blocks down the street is, what's his name? Ed's, I think it's called. A little tiny shop. But, so he's on the other side of town. And,
interesting.
We'll see. That road is super busy. So, I hope he does okay.
Yeah, the sad thing is they sort of know what they have, so it's not like you're gonna get great deals.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, we bought stuff because we were there.
Mm-hmm.
But like really, if I just do what I normally do and got them on DCBS or Half Price Books or, Amazon or whatever, I could have gotten both books for the price that I paid, or both books for the price that I paid for mine. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But, whatever. We were there and I was like, eh, fuck it. I'll support the guy.
For sure. Yeah. Got to do it.
Oh yeah.
I like it.
Oh yeah.
I like it.
I was going to get the Green Lantern Earth 1, because I know Aaron Redden, he talked about it on Absolute DC. But
yeah, I like me some Gabriel Hardman.
Hell yeah. But I didn't buy that there. I ordered that on Amazon. Yep, he did have one, though. He did have one. He had the two volumes, I think, of Nightfall, the big giant trade.
Yeah, the new one?
Yeah.
The new version?
Yep,
yeah.
The new version. I thought about getting that, but I was like, eh. You got these in singles.
I already have them.
So we'll see. We'll see. I might go back and see. I don't know yet. Well, the thing is, like, I need to find a place for, like, indie stuff. Because there's some indie stuff that I get that I can't get digital. Like a lot of the Scout comics, they don't do digital. Turner doesn't do digital. If I find like a creator that I like Monica's book, The Friendship Paradox, like she's doing mm-hmm. that only digital in Comixology.
Wow.
But like if she were to do a printed book, like I can either order it from her, or, like, hope my shop gets it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, can't get alternate Toys R Us anymore.
No, you can't get anything there anymore.
No, you can't.
Bye-bye.
State of affairs.
Yes, it is.
What'd you send me? Oh, hello. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah.
Prints are nice, though.
I wanted to send you that little sketch that you did.
Is the sketch the second picture on the inside cover?
Yes.
Wow, yeah, that's nice. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And then that plate, that's what I was talking about, that metal plate, the yellow one. Mm-hmm. And doesn't she look a little bit like Sherilyn Fenn a little bit?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah. I like it. And I like the tag. I like the tagline as well.
Tagline?
Yeah, burlesque with a bang.
Oh.
She's holding the Tommy gun. I like it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome.
He's talented, dude.
Yeah, I like this guy, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to pick him up.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm shocked he's not doing his stuff even over on Image.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Tough business, this comics.
So get your Poison Ivy ready.
Yeah, I'll message the guy.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this episode up, Nick.
Hey, you know what you can do?
Tell me.
Pump the brakes.
Uh-huh.
Don't message him just yet. Let me put this out on social tonight, and then...
Oh, a reply.
You can relay that way.
I like it. You're a SEO right. Juice master.
I am a juice master, son. I want to know where, I wanted to know where the bread's buttered. That's all.
I hear you.
And since this is so, like, C2E2 centric, is this going to be pushed out this week, I'm guessing?
I'll probably just put it out tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, why not?
Might as well.
Even though we're never going to get around to the toilet episode. Make them wait.
Oh, Lord. You have been listening to the Starship Podcast of the Nerdy Legion Network. Nerdy Legion Podcast with Nick Wetmore.
Hello.
You know, who was it? I think it was Ronnie. He's like, you can't say you're the flagship. It's not the most listened to podcast.
Well, we don't say it's the most listened to podcast.
That's right. We don't. Yeah. We say it's the flagship podcast.
Right. Here. We're the battalion ship.
Let me read you the definition of flagship. The ship in a fleet that carries the commanding admiral.
Right.
Guess what? That's this podcast. All right.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the flagship podcast of the Nerd Legion Network. Thanks for listening, Ronnie Baron. He's having a tough time getting home. I don't know if you're following that.
Oh my God, I totally am. Worst ever.
Poor guy. You can find Nick at Nick Wetmore on the Twitters. I am at Geekvine. The show is at Nerdy Legion. NerdyLegion at gmail.com is the email address. All that good stuff. We'll be back again sometime later on. 20 slate clean.